Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Corey, thank you so much. Saw him the other night. He had the barrel pickles, which I enjoy very much. I also love the dills. Kosher dills. Outstanding. But if you go to Brewers Outlet, yeah, the pickle bar is tremendous, but it's the selection of beer. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Now, it's another hot summer weekend coming up. You want to get back when you're done with the yard work or whatever you're doing and say, oh, I don't have a refreshing beverage. You go to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, you get your water, your soft drinks, snacks. The peanuts are roasted fresh and hot every day. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We're going to have Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report on today. Rich Scarcella coming up on Monday from the Reading Eagle. Also, looks like we're going to have Bob Flounders on from the Patriot. First time we've had Bob on the show, and I'm embarrassed to say that because I have such great respect for his work, and it's the first time we've had Bob on. We're going to have Bob on next Wednesday. Paul Page and Sage Karam will be on with Indy making its way to Pocono next week. And that's the lineup. So that's the lineup. A lot going on. Kevin's here.
Steven?
No, you're calling me. Check and see if you sent a memo today.
I did not.
Why not?
I don't know. I didn't get that far in my day. I just didn't get around to it today. I'm sorry. You're disappointed, I know.
Far in the day? I went to 2 hours of football practice, took care of some tuition, did some other radio work, things like that. Your day? Went and spoke at Williamsport last night, was at Northumberland the night before, got Harrisburg on Monday.
Listen, I do not sit here pining for the show to start, okay? I mean, you know, I got a busy day. I got to take a nap. There's a lot of stuff.
The beverages are kicking in earlier than we thought they would. All right.
Pickles are really good, though.
Yes, I know. Outstanding.
Corey was nice enough to share some pickles with me as well, so I've been enjoying those every night now.
I love them. I do. The pickle bar is great. All right. So, it's some interesting stories to talk about today. This is Kevin's favorite month of the year, of course.
Not anymore. It used to be, but it's lost its luster.
Why?
It's just not the same anymore. You've killed it for me.
What, the anticipation?
Yes.
Where everybody is, come on, give everybody a ribbon, move on. Okay.
Hey, you do know what I did find today, though, in my searches on the internet? I found the top colleges.
I don't think America wants to know this answer.
No, it was not those web pages. No, not the dark web. No, I'm talking about the legitimate one. The top colleges, college football Division I teams by state. I know you love these. I know you're a big fan of these particular ones. We did one for football. We did one for baseball. But it is very, it's exactly the way you'd think it would come out. Let's put it that way. It's exactly the way you think it would come out.
Why do we need the poll?
Well, if I said to you, what's the most popular college football team in California, what would you say?
USC.
USC would be correct. All right. The one that I think might be a surprise, but as of the last couple of years, probably isn't, is the most popular team in Texas.
I assume it would be Texas.
You would think so, but it's not anymore. I would have said up until about 3 years ago, you're probably right, but it's Baylor.
Yeah, sure. Okay. You ever been to Texas?
I have been to Texas. In Austin, yeah. They may argue with you that Baylor is more popular in Texas.
In Austin, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, everywhere you go.
You know, they're really, yeah.
The problem is Baylor's actually been good, and they play an exciting brand of football. But the second Texas is good, Baylor is now down.
What is the most popular team in Indiana, Stephen?
Probably Purdue.
Notre Dame.
Really? I don't get, see, when I'm, every time I'm in Indiana, I don't ever get a real sense for, I mean, Notre Dame is in South Bend, I know, but their following is national and not regional.
Now, I thought, go ahead, finish your thought. Finish your thought.
I'm not being bored to tears. Keep going.
There's a few FCS schools that made the list.
Oh, great.
I want to see if you can get at least two.
North Dakota State.
North Dakota State is one. That was the easy one.
Fabulous.
Go a little further south. Go a little further south.
South Dakota State.
South Dakota State, correct.
The Jackrabbits. Okay.
The Jackrabbits, that is correct. You should be able to get what would be the number one in New Hampshire.
Yeah, it should be UNH.
New Hampshire is the number one in New Hampshire.
Well, UNH.
No, I know. I'm saying, yes, for those that didn't know what UNH was, it's New Hampshire.
I'm headed toward the cliff.
And the final one that I actually got, believe it or not.
Talk me off the cliff.
Delaware made the list in Delaware as an FCS. Maine made the list in Maine as an FCS. No big surprise there. Montana made the list in Montana. New Hampshire in New Hampshire is an FCS. North Dakota State. We mentioned South Dakota State. Now, Bryant in Rhode Island made the list in Rhode Island, beating out Brown and Rhode Island.
That's terrific. The most popular team in Delaware is Penn State. All right. let's start there.
That is in Pennsylvania, correct. Yes. Pennsylvania. Penn State is the most popular in Pennsylvania.
They're also the most popular team in Jersey, the most popular team in Delaware.
Well, Rutgers may argue with you, and this list would say it's Rutgers, but I think they're talking about in the state itself, their most popular team in that state. In other words, you'd have to be in that state. The university would have to be in that state to be eligible.
What is this based on? A dartboard? What?
let's see.
Headed toward the cliff.
It's not headed toward the cliff.
Somebody talk to me about coming down from the cliff. If somebody could do that, that'd be great.
Okay. It was an evaluation of CBS Sports College Football Writers Division I programs from FBS and FCS that cover 48 of the 58 states. Alaska and Vermont were the two states that were eliminated because they are without a college football program at any level. Or at those two levels, I should say.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Good one.
So in other words, it has to originate in that state. Now, you're right. In New Jersey, maybe overall the most popular team is Penn State, but of the schools that are in that state, the most popular would be Rutgers.
Fabulous. Are there any other schools that play football in New Jersey besides Rutgers? I don't know.
Yes, there's a few. I'm not sure what level, but...
Okay.
You hate these things, don't you? You absolutely hate these things.
But they don't do anything. What?
It's fun, Steve. I know this is hard, but it's fun.
Well, I'm a fun guy. I do fun stuff. People were laughing at the stuff I was saying the other night.
You don't think it's interesting, though, that in California, USC beats UCLA, Stanford? I mean, think of all the programs in California. I mean, I'm not surprised that that happens. I just find it interesting.
I already have a way of knowing that, okay? I look at the attendance.
Judging by the attendance, you haven't.
I mean, they sell games out in the Coliseum. UCLA does not sell out the Rose Bowl. TV ratings, okay? I don't need some dartboard. I already have numbers. I got attendance and TV ratings. We're all set. Got it.
By the way, they play football at Princeton, in case you weren't aware.
Oh, God. Yeah. In fact, they invented the winged helmet, not Michigan.
And in New York State, where there's a lot of football teams, even though Fordham's had a lot of success, it is Syracuse.
I'm taken aback. Okay. Is this what you and your buddies talk about?
Yes! This is exactly what normal people talk about.
Huh.
This is called analyzing things that you can't possibly be wrong about, because it's all opinion.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Off to a great start here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
0-66.
The winning play is at Sunbury Motors Kia.
0% financing for 66 months.
Sunbury Motors Kia has the winning play with 0% APR financing for 66 months. Why pay interest when you can drive away in any new Kia with 0% financing? Choose from 2015 Kia Fortes, Optima, Souls, Cadenzas, Sedonas, Sportages, and 2016 Serenos. Sunbury Motors Kia has every color and every option available. Plus, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Ask yourself, why pay interest on a new vehicle? Come to Sunbury Motors Kia now and pay 0% APR for 66 months. Owning a brand new Kia is more affordable than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
0-66.
Financing to well-qualified customers through KMF. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Investing.
I considered not coming back.
I was just about ready to say what? You get into one fun topic and you're ready to quit?
Fun? What was fun about that? Who cares? I don't care about that. Who cares?
I thought it was interesting that Rhode Island was Brian. I thought there were more than one pro. I thought there was more than one program in Rhode
Island. There is not a single person listening to us that cares about Rhode Island football. Zero. Brown, Rhode Island, Bryant.
I went to Bryant last year.
And they're still talking about it. So.
Not a fun first half, I can tell you that much.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's see. You got Brown and Rhode Island besides Bryant. I guess that's the only one. Yeah. You mentioned that. No, I was acknowledging that.
Okay. Yes, I've actually seen their stadiums. They're fine. Okay.
I drove by them.
Yeah. So. Wow. Okay. A lot to get to, including Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We're going to talk about the Steelers. And did you hear they signed a dome kicker? He'll kick tonight in Jackson.
I'm aware.
I just want to make sure you're in tune. Football-wise, big weekend coming up. They will scrimmage tomorrow. And that will be important. I know James Franklin was talking to me today after the morning session, and we're going back and forth on a few things. And they said, well, a big thing for me will be to see how tomorrow goes. So, I mean, that's what they have coming up.
That's what he said, or that's what you said?
No, that's what I said, and he absolutely agreed with
me. I was going to say, I would imagine he would have said the same thing, sure.
Yeah. So, that's when you, and then next week they'll have two-a-days. Two-a-days, but you can't have them on consecutive days. You can have Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then they'll follow that up with another scrimmage.
Do they have to limit the time they have in those two-a-days? Like they can only be 3 hours and 3 hours, or?
Nobody goes that long anyway.
No, I don't know.
They can put whatever restrictions on them. One, it's insane to go that long. That's why the 20-hour-a-week rule, a lot of people think, oh, yeah, 20 hours, I mean, that's a lot of hours. No, there's no coach that goes on a practice field for 20 hours. The 20 hours does include the weight room. It does include meeting time. It does include film time, things like that. It does include all of that. But when it comes to field time, they're not in the field. They're on the field. Two, four, five and a half, 6 hours of practice on the field during the week.
High school two-a-day start next week.
Yeah. Well, but you can't have two-a-days in consecutive days. And when Corey Stringer passed away in the Vikings camp in that intense heat in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, they changed all the rules on that. And not only that, two-a-days every other day is fine. I think you end up with a better product coming out in the opening week of the season. I remember for Joe Paterno, the biggest thing always near the end of preseason was he was always worried, do I have their legs back? Do I have their legs back? Because you do so much work. I think when you, with the rules staggering out two-a-days, allow you to keep your legs. Because that's a big part, your quickness, your speed. But are they ahead of where they were a year ago? They are absolutely ahead of where they were a year ago. And they're absolutely ahead of where they were a year ago on the offensive side. No question about it. So they've had a good start. Now let's see what happens when the rubber meets the road, when you line up and go at each other in a scrimmage. And that will be, and then the two-a-days after that, followed by another scrimmage, that'll be big. Now, I know that wasn't as exciting as knowing that Liberty is the number one school in Lynchburg, but
actually, that's very true. Not necessarily in Virginia, though, but can you guess what Virginia is?
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, coming up in the next half hour.
It's the Hokies. Or as I like to call them, the Fighting Chickens.
Sunbury Broadcasting has just announced mandatory drug testing for all employees. News next.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Incredible. And, of course, You also have the pickle bar, peanuts roasted fresh and hot every day, water, soft drinks, snacks. No place I'd rather go on a Friday night to stock up for the weekend than Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And Kevin, well, it was one of those tough days today because Kevin had to turn in the Tucson.
My loss, your gain, because as of right now, as soon as you get done with work or get home, pack everybody up, head to Sunbury Motors and North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and check out the Hyundai Tucson we've been talking about all this week. The 2015 Tucson has a luggage rack, leather seating, backup camera, a lot of great features also available, including all-wheel drive. You'll have remote mirrors, LED lights, all available. And $2,000 off the sticker price right now at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. You can find them in the 4th Street Auto Plaza with Lincoln and Ford. Kia's routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Tom and I had a long talk about you driving his vehicles.
And he said it was a wonderful idea.
No, those words weren't uttered.
Okay.
All right, so...
I just assumed, you know, that's what it would be.
Yes, but as Tony Randall and the Odd Couple once said, when you break down the word assume. All right, so. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, the Steelers signed a dome kicker.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know what kind of choices you have at this point. You know, to be honest with you, Sean Sweeson, when they signed him, was pretty much a failed NFL kicker who'd been cut several times, and somehow he was able to work out. Now, you know, Hartley has had some success, but you're right, he's a dome kicker, and, you know, Heinz Field is one of the furthest things from a dome that there is in the NFL. You know, Steve, it's not just the weather conditions that make it tough at Heinz Field. I mean, there are plenty of teams that play outdoors and have as bad, if not worse, weather conditions than Pittsburgh has. It's the field. It's a terrible field.
Yes, it is.
It's very difficult to kick on. And, you know, I think it's the mental aspect of it as much as the physical. You know, that was one thing that Sweeson was able to deal with was, you know, yeah, you would look ugly on occasion. You would have a miss that, you know, missed by 15 yards, and, you know, some of them didn't even get to the, you know, get to the goal line. You're slipping when you're kicking sometimes, but it's the ability to just bounce back from that, not let that affect you, and, you know, go make the next one. So this is, you know, this is a big deal. It also happens at a time when they've moved the extra points back as well.
Right.
So, you know, and they didn't have any other kicker in camp, and that's unusual. They usually at least have another kicker in camp, not necessarily as competition, but as someone to at least take some, you know, take some reps away from the starter. Well, they didn't even have that to fall back on. So I don't know how much of a choice they had. I don't know who they looked at. But it is, without question, interesting. I guess at the very least, he's a guy who has kicked in the NFL with at least some degree of success. So, Steve, I don't know if there are 30 good NFL kickers. There might only be 25.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
And there will be more cuts to be made as well. So there might be some other guys who get cut loose at some point this year.
Right. All right. What's the game plan for tonight? How long? This is unusual because you have the extra preseason game. Do they treat tonight in terms of plan of usage of players about the same as they would as a first one, or do they treat it as a second game?
No, I sort of think they're treating it as a first one. I mean, if you look back at that first game, certainly offensively, they didn't, you know, have anybody out there who was going to contribute this year, you know, unless there's major injuries. I mean, they didn't even have their third string running backs out there, or their third, you know, they only had third string receivers out there. They had second team linemen for the most part. So, I think they're going to treat this like it's the first game. You're going to see Roethlisberger get some snaps. You're going to see some other first-team guys on offense get some snaps. And I think defensively it's a little different because there are so many young guys trying to earn time. And I think you're going to see something somewhat similar. I don't think you'll see Timmons play, you know, and those guys, Hayward play as much as they might in a typical first preseason game because they already did get some work last week, but I think you're going to see a lot of those younger guys, the Cortez Allens, the you know, Bud Dupree's, even the guys like, you know, Stephon Tuitt are probably going to get a pretty good amount of action on the defensive side of the ball tonight.
It's a good opportunity for Bud Dupree to show everybody he's not a bust yet.
isn't that amazing? In Pittsburgh, the pressure's already on, Steve. You're right.
Isn't that amazing? I think it's amazing. He's a bust. He played three series. What the?
But, yeah, that's you're not too far off. Yeah, there's definitely conversation, probably not in Latrobe, but there is conversation among the fan base that he has a lot to prove tonight. I'm not so sure that's the case. I think he'll have a lot to prove in September and October. I'm not sure about now.
Yeah. Who's hurt for them right now? Well, what kind of injury list do they have at the moment?
You know, it's not too different than what it was in the first week of the season. Yeah. I mean, I think one thing that's becoming a possible concern is that we're not seeing Bruce Gradkowski at this point. We watched Landry Jones. He looked a lot like, you know, I think Dennis Green said it right all those years ago. He was who we thought he was, to paraphrase.
There's no change.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I will say this in Landry Jones' defense. You know, he wasn't playing with anybody who's going to be playing on Sundays.
Right.
So that, you know, that did make his job a little bit more difficult.
Well, I will say this also in defense of the other guys. Okay. What a coincidence.
You're exactly right. And I think that is becoming a concern. I mean, Gradkowski is at least a solid backup. He's a guy who's been there before and he knows the offense. You know, Landry Jones is clearly the third best quarterback in this camp. He is that far above Taj Boyd right now.
Okay.
Obviously, Boyd can add some different things, but if Gradkowski, to me, that's the one injury besides Sweesham that could be very concerning. Who knows? Ben Roethlisberger may take snaps all 16 games this year. But if he doesn't, boy, we're talking, you know, it's a drop off for everybody when you lose your starter. But if they have to go from, you know, if they have to bypass Bruce Gradkowski for any number of games, we're talking about a massive drop off.
A backup quarterback that understands game speed is invaluable. So, and Gradkowski understands game speed.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. And that is something that Landry Jones still looks uncomfortable with after 3 years.
That's
a problem.
No question. They have Jacksonville tonight. That game will be in Jacksonville this evening. And amazingly, Jacksonville is not one of the teams that are looking to move to Los Angeles. So now let's get to the Pirates. I felt the 3-run ninth inning was even more important than the 7-run first inning, because if the Cardinals had come all the way back and won that game last night, which they were marching toward, that would have been exponentially worse. And I thought the Pirates responded very well to that.
Yeah, I agree. That, you know, that was big. It's only one inning. It was, you know, it ended up being a 10-5 game. If you look at it in the paper and didn't watch it, you think it was a laugher.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, the sixth, seventh, eighth inning, ninth inning. Well, the ninth inning was a laugher because of what they did
right
in the top of the frame. But yeah, I mean, that was anything but. And yeah, that would, you know, that certainly could have been devastating. I think that probably either the first or second game of that St. Louis series, I hate to say must win for a team that's in August and is still, you know, in good shape for the playoffs. But if they wanted to win the division, Steve, I think they had to take 2 of 3 in St. Louis. They, you know, so far they've played 6 games in St. Louis. They've only won 1. They're still 6 games back, and St. Louis is just not giving any hints that they're going to come back to the crowd. So, to me, certainly you manage like you can win the division still, but they've got to start putting some backup, you know, thoughts in place, and perhaps it may end up being an okay thing as they approach what would be another wild card game. In that, if they have, you know, if they know the division is out of hand, then they can plan their rotation
right
for that one game play-in, which they were not able to do last year.
Excellent point. Excellent point. When you get to the level the Pirates are at, you then have to nitpick as to why they can't get over a particular hurdle. They've been able to clear all the hurdles to get to this point, which shows they're a really good baseball team. But what keeps them from being elite? And you watch the way they run the bases, and you watch how they play defense, and I think only one team has committed more errors than the Pirates in the National League, and that's the Brewers. Is this a case of, they have a lot of great athletes that aren't baseball players, a case where they're just not a very, very instinctive baseball team?
Yes, I think that that's the easiest way to answer your question. I mean, I think that is the answer right now. I think you can talk about, you know, the roster and, you know, the fact that they you know, didn't make some moves that maybe other teams did. But if you just focus on the roster and who's on the team and who's playing every night, I think the answer to your question is what you just said. I mean, the defense has been very porous. Now, one of the major problems defensively is Pedro Alvarez. He, you know, that error number goes up because he's at first base. They're still looking for other answers. Aramis Ramirez is going to be taking some ground balls in New York this weekend. They didn't rule out that he may show up at first base over the course of this weekend. This is a guy who's played in the league for 17 years, Steve. He's played only third base. He's got, you know, 6 weeks left to his major league career, and they're considering very seriously moving him to first base. That's how dire the situation is defensively at first.
Right.
You can't get through a game without Pedro at least doing something that might not be an error, but it costs the team in some way. But an even bigger problem is it's not just Pedro Alvarez. You saw the entire infield in that first game make an error, or at least make something that cost the Pirates an out. Ramirez had a ball go off his glove. Tang made an error. Neil Walker made a throwing error. Pedro made a couple of mistakes that cost them. Gregory Polanco, you know, made a...
That was a car wreck.
I mean, it really was. You know, some of the announcers were saying, well, he was too aggressive. You know, no, there was no aggression. There was, you know, he was in that point where he was caught in between, you know, trying to be aggressive and trying to back off of the ball. That should have been a single. Gerrit Cole pitched a very good game.
Yes,
he didn't start to get hit hard in that opener, Steve, until he was over 110 pitches.
Right.
He deserved a much better fate than that. So, and they've run into errors on the base paths for the last three seasons.
Yeah.
They really have. They don't have anybody. I think their best base runner since, you know, over the past 3 years was Russell Martin last year. Problem was, Russell's very slow.
Yes.
He's a good base runner.
Right.
He's instinctive. He just doesn't help you very much with his, you know, lack of speed. But that tells you how bad it is. They've got a lot of guys who should be great base runners, and a lot of them, Josh Harrison, Gregory Polanco, are bad base runners. Marte's improved, but he's not a good base runner, and McCutchen is not a good base runner.
No.
And that's a shame. Those guys are not instinctive whatsoever on the base paths, and that has cost their team runs.
But the Polanco play is not a question of him being aggressive. That's absurd. He took a lousy route and misjudged it. He took a lousy route and misjudged it. I understand. There's nothing wrong with his effort. There's nothing wrong with his effort on the play, but he misjudged the play and took a lousy route to it, and that's what cost him.
You know, I don't know how you improve him defensively, because he has been, you know, at least from the AAA point, he has been a guy who has trouble taking the proper path to baseballs.
Yeah.
Balls that are hit behind him, he can use his speed, and he's much better tracking balls down, but when there's a ball hit in front of him that's one of those you have to make a decision on, he either takes a terrible angle to it, or, you know, he does what you just said. He misjudged it. He dropped a fly ball in a game earlier this year in the summer. It was a pretty easy play. They had a chance to make a play at the plate on a runner tagging up. I can't remember who it was against. I want to say the Cardinals, actually. And he stumbled because he misjudged the ball, couldn't get his feeding. Couldn't get his footing, dropped the ball, and they didn't, you know, not only did they not have a chance to get the first out, but they didn't have a chance to turn two because he didn't even make the catch. So, that's a problem. I think his confidence in the outfield can be an issue, too. Clint Hurdle was very, very, seemed to be very concerned about his confidence in the field. He's hitting right now, and Hurdle, I think, was concerned that, boy, you know, we've got to make sure he gets over this because we can't afford to lose his bat now with the way he's been hitting. So, that kind of fragile mindset, I think, is a bit of a concern as well.
Well, and again, just to, for the fans out there, we're not bashing the team. As the premise starting out was, they're really, really good. Okay, what's now the next step that's keeping them from going from being really, really good and a contender to win it to being great and winning it? And those are the two elements right there.
Especially when you look at who they're trying to chase.
Sure.
Because the Cardinals are a great base running team and a very good defensive team as well.
Yeah, and pitch well and everything. I mean, they do all the all those little things. Well, there used to be a saying around here, they take care of the little things and the big things will take care of themselves. Well, you got to take care of the little things. That way the big things can take care of themselves. All right. Tony, thanks so much. Have a great, great weekend. Always enjoy the talks very much.
Always enjoy it. Thanks, Steve.
Next week, Tony and I will rank all the baseball teams in the minor leagues by each state.
How about by the county they play in?
Headed back toward the cliff on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
They played this the other night in Northumberland, and when you tried to clear the tables out, take over the dance floor.
It was an inferno. It was an inferno.
Yeah. I called the fire department. I said, put it out. Okay, so you're intrigued by this map on CBSSports.com.
Well, I was. I mean, I'm not as intrigued about it now because we've talked about it a little bit. But, you know, I could post this map on our Facebook and website if you'd like.
Make your own mistakes. All right.
That's it. Just for that? No, I am going to do it.
All right. 800-795-9565. Something that there was a writer for Sports Illustrated that put out games that he thinks should be played that would make college football more intriguing, rivalry games. Among them, he had USC-Alabama was one, Penn State-Notre Dame, Texas-Texas A&M, Oklahoma-Nebraska, West Virginia-Marshall. He had Ohio State-Florida State.
Ohio State, Florida State?
Yeah, that he thought would be intriguing for college football.
No, I mean, it's okay.
Yeah, there are only like two teams that won the national championship in each of the last 2 years, but it's all right.
Well, I mean, I would jump out of my skin for those games, but.
Well, let's see. Washington State, BYU, that one didn't quite register
no.
with me.
No, I don't see the history there or anything.
There is no history. Some of these games don't have any history. Ohio State, Florida State has no history.
But how can it be? All right. So these aren't necessarily potential rivalry games. These are just right. Interesting. Oh, okay. I took that wrong.
Some of them are rivalries. He has he had Florida, Miami. I mean, most of them are rivalries. Texas A&M. Texas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, so forth. Penn State and Pitt did not make the cut. Penn State, Notre Dame did, but Penn State, Pitt did not make the cut. I have found the Pitt phenomenon to be very interesting to watch play out here from my seat as time has gone. Look, I was here and watched it firsthand when they had the really 10 really good years from 74 through 83. But after that, the games before that were not very good, and the games after that were not very good. Just weren't. When Penn State, like, let me add, for those who are like, we want to get Pitt back, all right, let me take you back to 1982. What excited you more on the schedule in 1982? Playing Pitt or playing Nebraska at Beaver Stadium? In 1982, what intrigued you more, Penn State playing Pitt or playing Notre Dame? In 1982, what intrigued you more, Penn State playing Pitt or playing Alabama?
Penn State-Notre Dame intrigues me more than Penn State-Pitt. I'll be honest with you.
Well, of course it does. It does to most people.
I'm sorry. I know. Okay. I don't mean any disrespect to Pitt. It just intrigues me more.
I'm just speaking the truth. I'm not looking about respect. The Penn State-Pitt game in 1982, which was a good year for Pitt,
and a great year for Penn State, was the fourth most intriguing game on Penn State's schedule. And fifth if you include Georgia. That's your rivalry game?